Good morning, comrades.
Oh.
WHIV. Was he not ready?
I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to get it on. I'm just eepy, and I shouldn't take any more. I shouldn't do any more caffeine or anything that's an upper, because it's just gonna make me feel terrible.
You don't want your heart to explode, pal.
No.
Well, good morning, comrade. You listen to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. Good morning, comrade Jeff and Robert on the show. And geez, you're like right about to ship it on up to shuffle off to the fjords.
Yeah. So Saturday night, I'm going to Heathrow. I'm flying into Heathrow.
Heathrow, bro. You're going to Heathrow.
And then from Heathrow, taking a slow boat, and hopefully we can pass unmolested by orcas, and going to Amsterdam and then Norway.
Is that orca infested waters up there?
I believe so. I believe it's orca time up over there.
You know, just be nice to them.
All right, exactly. No, they can sense the vibes. So yeah, fine. My mother-in-law is paying for us to go on one of those expensive Viking River cruises, but it's in the open ocean. Okay. It's like the North Sea. So they're, the vibes, I'm already imagining the vibes with these people isn't the best. But it might, I don't know. It might be all right. It depends. Because like rich people go, if you've ever been actually around rich people who can afford this kind of stuff, it goes two ways. Either they're the worst people on earth, like, They're you just don't even want to be around them for numerous reasons. Or they're like stealth millionaires who are like, you know, the stories about how, what's his face? The Bill Gates doesn't play, he plays poker, but he won't play anything higher than a $5, $10, no limit. Like, because to him, that's crazy. Like, my in-laws are millionaires, and you know, like my father-in-law wears like, not Jeff Hardy. I almost said Jeff Hardy, but the Florida guy. Yeah, I know Jeff. All he wears is WWE, top rope clothing line that he got from WWEshop.com. No, he wears the not Ed Hardy either. The fish guy, the guy who just does like fish, the fish artist. Like, if you've ever been to Fort Lauderdale or Key West, and he does like the big fish murals. It was like a big thing in the 90s. Fish artist. What's his name? I can't think of his name, but yeah, everybody's seen it. Everybody has seen it. It's the most safe art as possible. It's just a guy who makes a huge, he'll do like a tarpon and put it on a t-shirt, and your dad wears it, that kind of thing. Like, he lives in Key West too.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I just had it. Guy Harvey. You see why I said Ed Hardy? You see why I said, you know, what else did I say? Mike Rotundo, whatever.
Harvey.
Yeah, Guy Harvey. No, not that guy. That's a guy too. And that's the first thing I thought of too, is that's the rest of the story. I can't believe like we both are like baby boomers. Not actual boomer, but like little boomers enough to remember that. Were you a talk radio guy, Jeff?
My dad, as a kid? My dad used to listen to so much Rush Limbaugh in the car. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was just like Rush Limbaugh every day, all the time. And like, I do genuinely think that kind of stuff poisoned his brain. Because like, he was a pretty like, I don't know. My dad was a pretty like cool dude for the most part. But like, he just like, I don't know what happened. I guess he just got his brain poisoned by the sort of like right wing talk radio that was like really like huge in the 90s, and that just like sets people on a track, you know. You put yourself to enough of the propaganda, and I guess it's sort of like it just sends you down the road. But like and we're now really, really far down the road, because like, I don't know, a lot of this media stuff is sort of just gone like totally off the rails, but I will say that like, there was definitely Paul Harvey on like 8:70 in the morning, and he would definitely be a Trumper in 2024.
I was a talk radio kid. Like, it was weird. I don't know. I spent think that was a lot of time being a latchkey kid. My parents were divorced, so I spent a lot of time alone. But I used to listen to, in Florida, our talk radio station was WSUN, which is this small little AM station. and they would have, especially during the summer where all I had to do was just like, you know, wake up and play Sega Genesis and stuff. And they had Ron and Ron, which was Ron Bennington and Ron Diaz, and they had Fez Watley. They are old and they are still on XM right now, which is crazy. But they were like, they were like local shock jocks, you know, Great Value, Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And after that, there was Hooters. I can still remember the lineup. That's how much I listened to it. It was Hooters on the radio, I mean, it was fun. It was like a variety show where like Fez Watley was on it. He would talk about wrestling, and it was just like two Hooters girls. It was BL and I want to say Jamie Lee or something like that. But it was like a fun little like. Honestly, it was The View before The View, but like more fun. It was just two women talking about whatever. It was pretty cool. And then there was Bob Lasseter, who was a liberal, and he was kind of like a Lionel, if you know who that is, but with a Lionel still around, but with a less annoying voice. Lionel was like a New York liberal that got syndicated. He kind of sounded like Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Yeah.
Was he a jerk like Master Shake or no?
No, it was just annoying. And see, after Bob Lasseter, you're going to know who this is. It was the Gary Spivey show where Gary Spivey would just do free psychic readings.
Yeah.
Over the air. It was crazy. But yeah, I would listen to that all day. That and sports talk radio. So that's why we're doing a hobby podcast right now and a hobby radio show. Because that just infected my brain as a child.
I remember for me, a lot of times, so like there was definitely like the stuff my dad used to listen to, and I was like so bored by it. But like then later on, so like first off, there was the Stern stuff that would come on radio. Like that was on like 106.7 The End. And then they booted him for some like local, you know, like I guess the syndication fees were too much or whatever. And so they got some local guys, I remember. There was like a whole rotating crew of people over there. But then like I listened to a ton of sports talk radio, especially when I was in like college and stuff. And then for like lulls, like probably like later on in like the, you know, probably from like 2004 through like 2010, I got like, I didn't get like into it, but I thought it was very entertaining. Like the absolute like psychomaniacs, like Michael Savage, like those people were super entertaining to me because like, he was just like such a furious, like angry person, like really like and totally utterly miserable. And I'm just sort of like, this, I can actually understand why people appeal like this because of the sort of like way that society sort of like beats you down constantly all the time. And this guy, all he has to do is just like talk, like scream about how much he hates immigrants into a microphone. And that he gets paid millions of dollars for that. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Like what an awesome scam.
I also used to listen to Rush Limbaugh, but I would only do it every time a liberal would win the White House. So when Clinton won as a little kid, I'd listen to Rush Limbaugh.
4 years at a time.
Right. And then Obama would won. I'd listen to Rush Limbaugh for like 3 months straight. Just because every day was just seething. Just cope and seethe every day. And it was just hilarious to listen to. It was like watching a man. It was like the audio version of watching a man just step on a rake. Over and over again and just hits him in the face like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. It was beautiful to listen to. Actually, here's a claim to fame. Somewhere in probably the DAT tape archives of whatever WSUN became, as a kid, I used to call the various shows and talk about whatever, and I was kind of a known caller. Like, oh, it's that kid from St. Pete. And so they talked to me, and then
you got to pull up some of the old tapes.
And then I became a bumper because I would say like one time, I think it was on the Ron and Ron show. They were like, kid, like, oh, it's summertime. Here's Robert from St. Pete. And one of them would be like, how old are you? He's like, how old are you, man? I'd be like 13. And they would say, why are you listening to this? And I would say, because we're too poor to afford cable. And everybody would just laugh. And that was like the bumper for the show for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. Yeah. So that's a little deep cut lore, but yeah, I did always want to I didn't know. Like, terrestrial radio was a thing. I was like, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And then terrestrial radio now is dead. And here we are on the internet. But I guess I am doing that. How funny is that? I'm doing it.
Dead on WHIVLP New Orleans.
That's not at all. Yeah, we're on. I am on the actual radio. Tower goes out. Signal goes out. People listen. People hate. People turn it off. Can't explain that.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Tubes. Oh, wait, that's the internet.
Mm-hmm. But, power. Sound goes in. Sound goes out.
You can't explain.
Can't explain that.
Oh, my dad definitely watched Bill O'Reilly. Like, there was a lot of that too. Oh,
God, I'm so glad we didn't have some Glider 2 port to afford that. Yeah, that's terrible, dude.
Cable.
Oh, I used to listen to Oh, speaking of Bill O'Reilly, who's the guy? Glenn Beck before he was big.
Oh my God.
Because he was syndicated in the Tampa Bay, and I used to listen to. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And then I definitely remember listening to Glenn Beck show when, like, during the Iraq War, and it was awful, awful. And it was because I just got out of the Marine Corps, and I was like, "What is this guy talking about? He has no idea what he's talking about."
Well, he was like one of those guys that, like, for probably about 6 months, had the entire world, like, in his hands. He was essentially like the person that was going to unseat Rush Limbaugh as like the future of right wing media.
He did, though, really. I don't
remember what conspiracy stuff he started like going off on, but he gets like fired from Fox News, and then he's got like banished to the four winds, and he has to like start his own like media venture. I can't even remember what it's called anymore.
Blaze. It's the Blaze. Right. That's him.
But like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's nowhere near the level.
No. No, he was, I mean, he did that, though. I mean, he was a huge thing. Like, millions of people used to watch him scribble on a whiteboard every night. It was weird, man. About nothing. Like, the problems that they talked about back then seemed quaint. It's like, oh, can you believe that, I don't know, what would they say? Can you believe that the gays have invented a new color? And it's like, okay, dude. Like,
well, what are you... I mean, he was literally a shock jock. Like, he literally came up through... like the shock jock rank, and then he just like found a niche in politics on the radio, and then he ended up on CNN and then Fox News.
Well, that's the thing. Like Turbo Lib, Howard Stern used to play. He's when he clowned Glenn Beck. Like they got old clips of him, like when he was doing AM drive time radio, just drunk, just because you know he was alcoholic, and you could tell he was just hammered on the air. And he just was like a big Connecticut School of Broadcasting guy. You know, just like, and it's Tuesday. What are you going to say?
What's the Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
Oh, if you were a talk radio kid, you definitely heard those commercials. It was those commercials would play after the 1-800-BARTEND. Oh, you know, like those, you know, I can make a slow gin fizz with a twist.
If you ask Scott right now, if he could, Scott, my brother, if you asked him to do that, he could rattle that whole
thing off
right now.
Yeah, but Connecticut School of Broadcasting was the Full Sail Academy. And if you don't know what that is, it's a scam. The scam school in Orlando. It's where they do NXT.
Yeah, it's where WWE like records.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that's like, we're gonna charge you $80,000 a year, and you can go into debt to learn how to get in front of a green screen. It's like it was a thing before YouTube. Like everything from there, everything that you'd ever learn from there, you can learn on YouTube now. I don't know how to play Stays Open. It's crazy, but it was so. Connecticut School of Broadcasting was the precursor to Full Sail. It was the radio version of that. It was the broadcasting ITT tech, I guess I could put it. Like, you know, it was the broadcasting, that art school that you would order, that you would call, and they would send you the picture of the pirate turtle, and you could just like pee on it and send it back to them. Like, oh my God, you're an artistic talent. Like, please join us. I used to read Juxtapose magazine as a kid. I was such a weird kid. And that's like a art magazine for like graffiti artists and weirdos. And one of the things they would have in the features they would have every month is they would get like an acclaimed artist And then they would have, you know, they get like Robert Crumb or like early, like Shepard Fairey, and they would have them do the pirate turtle drawing thing. And it would just be insane. It would be just like the craziest thing you had ever seen. And they would send it back to him and be like, oh, it looks like you've got some potential. It's like, yeah, it's the guy who went on, you know, it's like a Robert Crumb, and it's like, all right, dude.
Did you ever see the video of, I think it was Rob Liefeld, and like he goes on a show with Stan Lee, and he like draws like one of his.
Yes, we've talked about that on the show.
Just cooks them the entire time.
It's so good. It's so good.
Rob Liefeld makes the most like Rob Liefeld, like big, beefy, like monstrous, like jacked up, like 80s character.
I could almost do a one man play of that. Like, I can see it in my head right now. This is where I'm like, what's that guy? Goodwill Hunting. My memory is now photographic. The character's name that he did was called Overkill, and he just looked like Cable.
Yeah.
Cable. It was Cable. It was just stupid.
Oh yeah. Man. And like Stan Lee was just like, okay, this guy's just, and he just like let him go. It was him and Todd McFarlane, I think, were both on that episode, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another like he was another one of those guys just to sort of like talk in the comics realm who was like, well, this guy's the future when he started like doing Spider-Man and stuff like that. And he just I don't know if he made somebody angry or if he just like decided that like, you know what, screw it, I'm going into business for myself with the image thing. But like he did not change the industry in the way that he could have, I guess.
You can't really make fun of that kind of stuff, though. I understand.
Oh, well, I thought you could, for
sure. I understand how Stan Lee was making fun of it. I get it completely because he created a world that was more grounded, him and Jack Kirby. But also, those guys like McFarland and Chris Claremont and stuff like they were chained by the 90s. Yeah. The 90s were the 90s.
They defined the 90s, though. They ended up defining the 90s.
Did the 90s define them, or did they define the 90s? I think the 90s defined them, and then it just their style just feedback looped into the 90s and became the 90s. Like, nah, I don't. I think they were defined by the 90s because you look at the culture of just like what we think of as 90s cringe, and that was what they were doing.
Yeah,
that's what they were, just loud, obnoxious. You know, again, go back to Cable. We're getting really, really into
the cocaine culture of the 90s. That's what that was.
Yeah, like we're really getting into deep nerd territory. But like, you're gonna tell me that Cable, who looks like Brock Lesnar, he has the genetics of somebody who's on every cycle of anabolic steroid ever. You're telling me that is that their mutant power, or because you're telling me that they are the child of Cyclops and Jean Grey, and that came out this like 8 foot tall mountain of a man. It's like who has psychic? No. But that's how we did things. It's like, what if we make, it's like, what if he comes from hell and we make him black and he can't fit through doors because his shoulders are too wide and he has magic, but he also has, he doesn't want to use his magic, so he has a gun.
Yeah.
And what if he's burnt? And it's like, what is this, man? What happened to the 90-pound weakling, like, makes good? Like, that's interesting. I don't know.
Speaking of comics and specifically the X-Men, and so you,
oh my god,
X-Men 97.
Oh my god, this show's and so good.
The X-Men have gone woke. What's going on here?
Oh, first of all, when this is okay, X-Men 97. So, anybody who is a late Gen Xer, early millennial, that X-Men cartoon on Fox Saturday mornings was super cheesy and corny, but it's all we had. It was like rubbing two sticks together to get fire, and we were enamored by it, and it all has a place in our heart, especially the Japanese alternative intro version where they just scream at you for like 3 minutes while rock music plays. It's so good. And I also like, what also is great, it's like you wouldn't know in that Japanese intro that any other characters existed except for Wolverine, who is the biggest weeaboo. You know, I want to prove to you that I'm just like a samurai.
Yes, absolutely. In canon, he is that.
Yeah, and then Jubilee, who is not Japanese. She is Chinese, but whoever designed that opening for the Japanese X-Men cartoon was like, good enough. Put her front and center.
We get represented by this.
Yeah, exactly. So we all watched that and we all loved it. So when Disney does something good, they do something good. When they miss, it's a huge swing and a miss, but when they hit it, it's they tag them all. They blast a grand slam out of the park into the bay, and that's what X-Men 97 is. It picks up right where the old cartoon left off. It does what I love best in media, to where it's not for kids, but your kids can watch it and get a lot out of it. It's adult and mature without being what we just talked about, edgy for edgy's sake, which nobody wants that anymore. The themes of sexuality and the allegory, I should say, of sexuality and race are front and center. They do such a good job with, you know, this thing's been in production for years, but it could easily be about Palestine. But everybody complained before this thing came out that in the trailers they're like, X-Men are woke now. And I'm like, what you mean the thing that's about, obviously about gay and black people is about gay and black people? That's what they did. I saw one where they changed Storm's look from the cartoon and had her have the mohawk that she had in the 70s. And I was like, and people are like, oh, look how they butched her up. Look how they're trying to do this. They're trying to do this masculine. I'm like, that's how she always looked. That was her best look. Cause she was a street punk in Africa. Well, I can't remember what country she's from, but she was a street punk in Africa before her puberty hit. And she became a living bomb that can just drop a tornado on your head at any moment. What else? People are complaining about, and this is a small minority who are being drowned out, but
like outrage industry.
It's so silly, dude.
You know, the kind of people who watch Lady Ballers.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of people who watch Lady. No, you, that's exact Venn diagram circle. The kind of people who watch Lady Ballers. But, so there's a character called Morph, and he is just like, he's like the male, they're different, but he's the male Mystique. If you've seen those bad X-Men movies, Mystique can change into anybody. He's literally a shapeshifter. But you're not even hit over the head with it. I don't even think it's mentioned in the first two episodes that I've dropped. But they've said, you know, the writers have said, oh yeah, Morph is non-binary. And everybody's like, oh, they shouldn't talk about sexuality. This, why are you gaying up my X-Men? You telling me the person who can change from male to female and anything in between at will does not conform to the gender binary? Color me shocked.
Which part of this is weird? The fact that he can change into anything, or that he doesn't fall on a very specific socialized spectrum?
Yeah. That can just wake up and go, you know, I feel like being a woman for a while. Like, he's literally, and I know this isn't going to help most people, he's Odo from Deep Space Nine. So he's a changeling. He can just change. She's like, I feel like living as this. What does this feel like to live as a fish? What does it feel like to live as a bird, a woman, a man, a black man, whatever? Like, I can just do that. Like, you're telling me that person wouldn't be like, oh, don't box me in with gender? Yeah, I think we're beyond that.
Yeah,
could start doing that kind of stuff.
Is that he could pass for any of those things perfectly with no questions asked.
Yeah, and gain their abilities. It's not like a Mystique where, like, Mystique is just changes and she is outwardly that person. He has, like, if he wants to be Wolverine, he has, like, adamantium claws or whatever, but that's too deep. But yeah, it's so good. It's, oh, the themes are great. Not to, you know, spoiler, they're doing the thing where, because Xavier's dead and now Magneto, is now going to lead the X-Men, because Xavier put him in to his will to say, if anything happens to me, you know, all my stuff is yours, Magneto. So he's like, I'm going to honor my friend Xavier and we're going to keep his dream alive, but make no mistake, I'm still Magneto. I'm still the man. Like, I don't have to explain anything to you. He's like, I'm a dictator. I'm a tyrant, but now I'm a tyrant in the direction of Charles's dream. And I'm like, that is such an interesting, character to think about, a benevolent dictator. It's like, it's just really good. I resubscribe to Disney Plus just to be like, oh, let me check this out. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait till next week. Mm-hmm. Cannot. So good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
There you go.
Always been woke, actually.
Oh my goodness, dude. There's just so much media that these people just don't, these people who are, I don't want to call them our enemy, but they're just our
people who believe. So, like, I guess people who originate this content or this outrage BS are the enemies, but the people who consume it aren't necessarily. I guess is my
sure. But just how do you live life and the things that you that's the meme, is like all art and culture that you like is all leftist. I'm sorry that reality has a left wing bias. But just how do you watch Star Trek as even a conservative, a neoliberal? Like, how do you do that? Star Trek is obviously socialist utopia.
We have automated gay space communism.
The video game I play right now, I'm super into, is Helldivers 2, where you are you're a fascist, killing bugs and killing robots, who the robots are socialists, and you're the bad, obviously we're playing as the bad guys, and I don't understand how anybody with the worldview that they're parroting can get any enjoyment out of this. It's silly. I what do these people get out of it? I mean, in that game, they're, you find out that the bugs that you're killing the humans were actually farming them and they got free. And now they're just trying to fight for liberation from you. And the reason why you farm them is because, like Dune, you're farming them for element 710, and element 710 allows faster than light space travel. And if you take 710, take the number 710, put it in a calculator and turn it upside down, what does it say? Oil. It's like, how are y'all getting any kind of enjoyment out of this? This is a leftist fantasy. I just can't fathom how these people, they say that the left is joyless. I understand why the right's joyless. They don't have anything. They don't have anything, because again, reality has a left wing. So we live in a society. Reality has a left wing bias.
It's not to say that there aren't joyless leftists. There certainly are them, but they're not, those are the ones that, like, and I'm not even saying that culture or whatever is even that important, but they're the ones that are based, they're the ones that are oh, we must actually insulate ourselves from what culture is doing, which is no, that's the wrong way to go. And then the conservatives are joyless because they see the culture as something that they cannot control. And they desperately want to, and they see that culture as the end of, essentially the end of society as they know it. They actually do buy into the Breitbart stuff of the politics being a reflection or downstream of culture, right? And so instead of engaging with politics directly, which they don't often, when there's issues the direct trans hate bills and all these other awful things that we see popping up, they engage with that through as an extension of the culture war. They can't control culture, so they try to control politics.
That's funny that you say that about the they think that they're living the end of society as they know it, but every human being that's ever existed since, you know, we came out of the primordial soup is living at the end of history, ending the live the end of society as they know it. I just don't understand, because the idea, like, even their movement is called conservatism. Smarter people than I have talked about the reason why right wingers and, you know, conservatives exist, because of our human death anxiety. And it's just like the idea of being able to lock in culture where you're at is just a fool's errand and a waste of a life. It's never going to happen. It's never happened. You know, there was some guy banging around in, you know, in a cave being like, oh man, y'all are making that wheel. Yeah. Oh, what's this fire? This fire, that's degenerate. I'm not doing that. I'm gonna eat this caribou raw and get parasites like a real man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, bro. Like, things are gonna move forward without you. And that's just the way it is, and be happy for people. So their whole ideology is dead on arrival, and I just don't understand how they don't see that. I don't get it. And I've interfaced with people like that, you know, in my daily life. And I remember I was at a NASCAR race and I was talking to this guy, and he's like, oh, you know, we're drinking beers together, we're having a good time. And, you know, he was like, yeah, you should come see me in, you know, in Georgia or whatever, we'll hang out. And I'm like, yeah. I've been up there like a couple times, you know, in my travels. Like, sure. It's like, you should come to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, blah, blah. The white guy, obviously. And you should have seen his face drop. Like, he, because, you know, in his head, he was thinking, as soon as I get to New Orleans, I'm going to be executed on sight.
Yeah.
And it's just like, brother, how is, we live in a time where you can be on the other side of the world within a day, and you want to live in your own little self-confined prison of your own making and be completely disinterested on how anybody else who's not you in the world gets by. That is such a weird existence to me. I can't, my mind, that's the thing. We could talk about economic anxiety. We can talk about death anxiety, but the thing that made our ancestors start in Africa and spread out and cross the Bering Strait or go south and go north to ancient Europe. And that thing lives in me. It lives in you. And I don't understand, like, that thing does not live in those people. And it's so weird to me. Like, I have this drive to see and do and become and change and like whittle myself into the best version of myself through experiences and through knowledge and learning until my death. Why don't you have that? Yeah. I thought that was innate in everybody.
No.
Apparently it's not.
So hold on real quick. You listen to the LP New Orleans 102.3 is Good Morning Comrade. So on that point, I actually think it's also fascinating that people, like incurious people who don't actually like want to know about this kind of stuff, also get like sucked in by people like Elon Musk, who claim to be that, who claim to be people that like live on the edge and are world breakers or whatever, and are absolutely nothing to that. And I can't really like, They like the idea of like breaking down the borders of history or like knocking down the latest frontiers or whatever, but like they actually get drawn to people who are just sort of like doing like take government contracts to do things that America had done as a collective in the 1960s. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's about like an individual, like, it is literally like tongue on the boot, like try not to swallow the whole thing. Like, they're looking for a daddy kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And those people, like you talk about, like Elon Musk, who, you know, literally can do whatever they want in the world. Like, they're the most boring people you ever want to meet. When you sit down and you really pick their brain, it's like, these people are so boring. And again, I'm not better than people. I just really don't understand how their brain works. I talk to people all the time. A good example of this is, okay, so I'm going to go on a trip, right? I'm going to travel. Now, even if I'm not doing something incredibly exotic, like, I like to travel. I like to, you know, I like to go place. I like to go places like, you know, I don't know, Belize. Belize is relatively cheap to get to. It is a country that's like English speaking. It has Caribbean and Latin culture. And I just really like it. And I talked to, again, with the face drop, like I told a story about the guy at the NASCAR race. You know, people were like, I'm going to Vegas. And I'm like, God, how are you doing that? Or I'm going to Hawaii. Hawaii is the big one that I always go, why? I'm like, it's so expensive. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, you're flying way out there to go to Hawaii. I'm like, but then if you flew like 3 more hours, you'd be in Asia. So you could go somewhere like actually really cool and things you would never see anywhere else, just like around the corner. And not counting the flight, it's going to be cheaper. And go back to the Belize thing. People were like, I'm going to Vegas. And I'm like, you know, I was like, I don't go there. And they're like, why? I'm like, it's too expensive. Like, I'd rather go to Belize. And I'd be like, oh, I don't go out of the country. And I'm like, brother, I'm like, Vegas people are literally living underground. Like, you don't like Moleman, Morlocks. If you want to go back to the X-Men, like the society of mutants who don't have like incredible powers, so they're forced to the fringe of society. Like, people literally live in the tunnels under the casinos and hotels. I'm like, it don't get any scarier than that, my man. When somebody can just pop out of a tunnel like a Ninja Turtle, like that's dystopian and terrifying to me. Not that these places that I'm talking about, like a Belize or anywhere in South or Central America, doesn't have its fair share of like inequality issues and stuff like that. But you don't have to pay premium dollars to have this like fake experience. I don't understand why you're not spreading out. Like, I can't do it.
You could get the fake experience way cheaper. I mean, like, obviously,
so weird, man.
Forest, they're not going to be the most like quote unquote dangerous. You're not going to see the like part of the face of Belize or whatever that is like the most like visually ravaged by capitalism. You go by the part that's a fresh coat of paint. You know what I mean? You go to shorts and stuff. I mean, like,
but it's way cheaper though than going to Vegas or anything like that. No. And so I just don't understand why you would pay. Top dollar if you're living in the U.S. to go places where you're going to see a Johnny Rockets and a Hardee's.
Because of like, the familiarity is really the answer.
Like, so weird. I want unfamiliarity. That's the whole point. Yeah. You know, I want to do something I haven't done before. I want to like something I haven't liked before. I want to dislike something that I never got a chance to dislike.
Look, do they have jalapeno poppers in Belize? I'm not sure about that.
I don't know, but I know that when I stay in Key Cocker, which is a small island that you have to take a ferry to get to, think of just like if the French Quarter was an island here in New Orleans, and everybody just, you know, walks, or if you really want to be fancy, you rent a golf cart, and there's bars on the edge of the ocean, and you just drink and sit in the surf all day. I know they don't have jalapeno poppers there, but I know if I want a lobster, a man will just go dive into the literal ocean and pull me out a lobster, bring it to my restaurant, and they'll cook it. So it's like, that is an experience. I staying at the Bellagio is not. Right. I just don't, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that stuff, but it shouldn't be your full hell. You know, my wife and I just 2 weeks ago, we just took a little road trip to Mississippi and stayed at a casino hotel because it was like, bored. Let's go do it. And it's like, yeah, why not? Let's just do this for the weekend and pretend we're balling out. Okay, cool. So it's like, yeah, there's a time and a place, but I don't know, bro. That's just like, I people who are just like uncurious will forever be a mystery to me of just how they live, because you don't come back. Like, we die, and even if there's something after this, we don't come back to here, not that I know of. So it's like, why would you want to? You're at Disneyland. You're a sentient creature at Disneyland right now. Don't you want to ride as many rides as you can ride until it closes? You've already paid. Every day we sell our labor, you know, every day we sell our labor, you've already paid the admission fee. So don't you want to ride all the rides that you can?
Yeah.
While you're here? I don't understand.
Did you go to the Beau Rivage? Is that the one?
No, we went to the IP, which Imperial Palace. Yeah, it's
too.
It's behind, it's off the...
I used to play cards there.
Yeah, they've got a poker room. It's off the strip. It's behind Boomtown, across the street from a pawn shop.
I know the Beau Rivage is local 23 Unite here. I think the IP might be. They might have a union there as well. I'm not sure though.
I don't know.
But shout out to local 23 always. We love local 23.
Did you see Candace Owens?
No.
This is a hard swerve. Yeah, you just say no.
I think she's a pretty incurious person that would rather go to Vegas than to...
Well, that's okay. So maybe this isn't as hard transition as I thought it would be, talking about being curious. She is incurious about a lot of things, but she is... What's that?
How you like that for a segue?
I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to... You actually set it up here. I'm going to smash it out of the park. She's incurious about a lot of things, but one thing she is curious about is the... assigned sex at birth of Prime Minister of France's wife, Brigitte Macron.
Oh, I did see this. Oh my God. What is going on with this? Macron? His wife? Macron. She's doing like a transvestigation on...
Absolutely.
...on her wife? What is going on here? What is this about?
Brother, I'm going to read her tweet that she put out right now. this is from March 12th, and I've just been seething about this, so... So angry. Yeah, go ahead.
People at home, who Candace Owens is.
Oh, you tell them who Candace Owens is. I'm taking my sweater off because I'm hot.
So Candace Owens is basically, she's a black conservative woman. And I think that's like, she basically does the thing. And considering that, like, I don't know, she does the thing where she basically like, does the, I'm a black woman and a conservative, I'm a unicorn and I have authority. She basically does right-wing identity politics. I mean, that's like the best that I can get away as a white guy saying about it.
I know what you want to say, and you wouldn't be wrong. subscribe to my Substack and I'll tell you exactly the word that describes what you're getting at right now.
I've heard black leftists describe her in some very colorful language.
She's terrible. She absolutely makes me want to vomit. So in her tweet, she says, I guess she did this on a podcast, or I guess on her show on the Daily Wire. She did a whole trans investigation, like you said, about, you know, Brigitte Macron.
Transvestigation.
She says, this episode is blowing up, and I want to say, after looking into this, I would stake my entire professional reputation on the fact that Brigitte Macron is in fact a man. Any journalist or publication that is trying to dismiss this plausibility is immediately identifiable. And there's more to this? Oh, immediately identifiable as establishment. I'm surprised it's not triple bracketed, Candace. I've never seen anything like this in my life. The implications here are terrifying. I do not intend to let up on this story, and I'm calling on other journalists to look into this explosive story and report accordingly. Now, there's a two-pronged attack reason why this makes me want to vomit. And this has been in my head for, you know, it's now the 21st. So this has been in my head for over 10 days. Were you trying to play her right now?
I pulled up a video of this.
Play it.
Go on. She has a whole 40-minute video.
Don't play that. Don't play 40 minutes. I can't.
Maybe we can, like, do a little bit of it. And then we can do it.
Yeah, play a little bit because I'll jump off the roof if I have to listen to that voice for more than, like, 2 minutes. But go ahead. Please.
All right. So let me find a spot here. Here we go. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait. This is great.
This is crazy. I'm talking crazy, 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 crazy. Stop everything. Pay attention. If you're driving, pull over. Just kidding. You don't have to pull over. You can keep driving. But you just prepare yourself
for what is happening right now in France. So let me give you guys the background.
Emmanuel Macron is the president of France. He is married to Brigitte Macron, okay? Her love story has always been extremely weird and extremely creepy. She is 70 years old, allegedly, and he is just 46 years old. So already right there, you have
boom, guilty, right? Like, that's just like, it's automatically just like,
why do you care? Why, what? It, who cares? I don't care. I could have gone my whole life without knowing this information.
A 24-year age gap between them. And at the very least, just looking into their love story, you're looking at what might be, because they change the age throughout the years, a story of pedophilia. I'll tell you what their official narrative has been.
Oh my God, seriously?
What? I actually didn't hear this. So now, okay, you hooked me. Great. I'm interested. Let's hear the Candace Owens
narrative show. Is that when Emmanuel was just 15 years old, he was a drama student at a school. And his teacher was Brigitte. And while he was very young, they somehow managed to fall in love. That would have made Brigitte way too old to be falling in love with a 15 or 16 or 14-year-old, depending on which article you're reading. But yes, apparently she was just so moved from his depth, this little boy's depth, and the poetry and the way that he would write, that they fell in love, so much so that the now first lady left her then husband, despite the fact that they had three kids. Okay, so that's the background story. Nobody cares. Doesn't matter. Happened so long ago. Now she's the first lady. We should celebrate her. No, some major update now happening.
I love how she's doing this like it's like salacious drama. Like, this is the scoop. This is, I'm Walter Cronkite. I am breaking the news. This is so important. Get ready for it.
Now, let me be serious for a second. So here's the thing about that, though. How she's trying, what she's doing here is very clever. Now let's take her at her word on face, because when you say stuff like this about people in the public eye, that's, we have libel laws in America. I don't know how it works in France, but you know, that's some slander. That's some, you're treading on some libel. So I'm going to take her at her word and be like, oh, this woman groomed the future prime minister of France. Okay, great. Now, not great, but okay, let's take her out of where. What she's trying to do is tie pedophilia to being trans, to being transsexual. That's what that's disgusting. I didn't even know this is another thing. I didn't know she was that this was part of it, but this is so obvious and naked what she's trying to do here, and it's gross. Go ahead.
Major update. So let me tell you about how I happened upon this story. There was just an article that was published in the Daily Mail. Here's the headline. The proof France's first lady wasn't born a man. What? I was going, what? So I, of course, instantly read it, because what a bizarre thing that you're even needing to present proof that Brigitte Macron was not born a man.
And now, if you're going to like...
If you're reading the Daily Mail, you're already wrong. But go ahead.
The Daily Mail, and also, like, if they're gonna do that, they're doing it in response to like allegations that have been putting out there from conspiracy theorists.
And embedded within the article, they showed two photos, and I'm going to show you right now. This is the first photo. This is allegedly Brigitte Macron when she was a little girl sitting on her mom's lap. But when I saw this photo, the first thing I noticed was that the person on the far left, the boy, that actually looks like Brigitte Macron. I'm taking you guys through my thought process. I saw this and I was like, that actually looks like she might actually be the guy. Maybe she's a dead ringer for her brother. But I don't see any resemblance there with the little girl. Make sure the second photo, debunking another young photo, allegedly, of Brigitte Macron. But I thought when I looked at this photo, that this looks way too new to be a photo of a 70-year-old when they were a child. Now, again, these are my thought processes.
Okay, so just for the people listening who can't see this, she basically just showed like two black and white pictures of one of a family and a little girl was like sitting on somebody's lap. And then they had another picture of just like a girl. And like, she's just doing like photo evidence, like, oh, well, this photograph looks like too clean or something.
When I then read the article, there was no debunking whatsoever. They just were calling people that were saying otherwise far right, you know, all the typical buzzwords, far right, conspiracy theorists, racist, sexist, it's homophobic, it's anti-Semitism. just the thing that we are all now able to immediately look through. These names don't mean anything anymore. And that just makes me want to look further into the alleged theory. And I did.
So gross, dude.
You're being like, you're basically just throwing out weirdo allegations. They're calling you a weirdo and you're like, suspicious that you're calling me a weirdo for doing all this weirdo stuff.
It's so gross.
And holy smokes. So the quote unquote conspiracy theory is actually a 3-year thorough investigation that was conducted by journalists that were working with genealogists. It was published in 6 issues in Faits et Documents. I'm sorry, my French is not that good, but they published 6 issues.
Nothing about you's that good. Nothing about you's that good. Nothing.
So, okay, we don't need to watch all this.
Please,
but like,
thank God.
She's just picking up on some like conspiracy theories that have been around for like years, essentially. Like, and like, there's never been. And look, Macron sucks. Macron is like one of like the worst neoliberal leaders in the country, or in the world, rather. Like, is responsible for basically a hollowing out of as much as he possibly could. Without, I mean, obviously, when he does attempt to hollow out the middle class in France, what happens? The yellow vests hit the street, right? But like, this is just an attempt to just like trash a celebs. I don't know, like Robert.
She's just trying to get her money up and not her funny up. Like, this is obviously just outrage for clicks. She doesn't really care. But the thing, so a couple things here. First thing, I wasn't even thinking about that till the first part with the whole, oh, he was 15 when they met or whatever, and the teacher. And this is gross, but that sounds like the most, you know, stereotypical French thing I've ever heard. Not that that's good. But my point is, I know the answer is it's rhetorical, but if you want to investigate that and be like, I don't know what age of consent laws there are in France or whatever. I don't know anything like that. But yeah, if that's the true story of how they got together, that's weird and wrong and gross. But like, why don't you just stay there? Yeah. I've been watching the Dan Schneider documentary on HBO Max about, you know, dirty, nasty Nickelodeon. And, you know, you watch that and you go, yeah, if conservatives and were just like Holly weird, look at all these gross people, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, look how they want to rape kids or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, you've got a point here. Let's talk about that. But then they always want to take it to the step to absurdity of, oh, because, you know, because of this, there is a child sex dungeon underneath Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And it's like, why don't you just stick to the stuff that's real? I guarantee you get more followers that way instead of going to the, you know, I have a whole conspiracy theory about that, but what, that's
that they're the conspiracy.
No. Okay. So I'll get into it real quick with the time we have left. So I think, so in my conspiracy brain is, I think things like, you know, Comet Ping Pong and stuff like that. I think they are ways to flood the zone.
Yeah.
So that way, when you're trying to say like, hey, what about, you know, they be raping kids over at Nickelodeon? Oh, you're one of them Pizzagate dudes, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like, you're crazy. That doesn't happen. And so it's like, that's why you don't stick with stuff that's real. The other thing with the time we have left, go ahead.
We move in on that, and then I'll let you get to the other thing. But like, yeah. that's like, yeah, the people, like, and I don't know if it's like, Like Alex Jones just deciding to like attack the freaking family of the Sandy Hook people, like, and if you basically ask any kind of questions about this kind of stuff or about like the root cause of why it happened, then it's very easy for them to just be like, oh, you're just like Alex Jones,
exactly.
Which is like, I mean, like, if they're not doing that on purpose, which I don't even necessarily think that they're like the Fed that are like the conspiracy to make all this happen. But like, the feds don't need that when you have idiots. you just blast them up. You give them some shine, or I mean, they actually find the shine all up on their own, right? They find the channels and the people that think like that, and then with the establishment, with the Democrats, and like all of them will do is be like, hey, if you're actually critical of of the systems that are in place that like cause these kinds of things, that cause school shootings, that cause like all these issues. And you don't just always talk about guns, which we should definitely do shit about guns. But like, if you don't only do like that, if you think about doing anything else, you're just like Alex Jones.
Yeah. Our mentor, Sam Cedar, once said, you know, if Alex Jones is in a CIA plant, then the CIA would invent him.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, so my original point, the whole thing of bringing this up is, one, how dare she talk about question the sexuality or femininity or whatever you want to call it of anybody else as a black woman, when historically black women have always been dehumanized and yep. and not treated as equal to white women and manly and just not real women throughout time. So how dare she, the history of that? And then third, if you really want to get nasty, and I'm gonna say it's for all, you know, anybody that's, you know, trans or queer or just like a good, decent person in the audience, know that I have to preface it as like, know that what I'm about to say is I don't believe this on, and if it was even true, I don't care. The same thing about Brigitte Macron. I don't care. But if she wants to open the door, and people like Candace Owens wants to open the door on who's passing and who's a real woman and who's not by the way they look, girl, you got a jaw like a heavyweight boxer and you look mannish. So you wanted to open that door? Then I will come through it and I will read you and tell you about yourself. You got no business up here telling people who's a real woman and who's not. It makes me sick. It makes me absolutely disgusting. And you know, cause I swim in like these dude bro debate stuff. And I see like trans people, trans women, who are actual women talking to other trans women, telling them how they don't pass and they're not a real woman. And I'm like, girl, Blair White. I'm like, I'm a cis man. I'm like, I, if you're saying that you're the one who gets to talk about who's passing or not as a cis heterosexual man, then I have power over all this. And I'll tell you right now, I clocked you from a block away. I was like, so don't come in here throwing glass, throwing rocks when you're living in a glass house. It makes me sick. And again, I don't believe that, nor do I care. But if that's, I'm not Michelle Obama. When they go low, I go in the sewer. I'm coming for your heart at all times.
All right. Well, what a note to leave it on. But yeah,
I just hate her, man. I really do. We have a word for people like her in the black community. And if you're black and lesbian, we all know what it is. Mm-hmm. And we just gonna let it rip. We ain't gonna say it on air, but that's cause that's family business. But people like her who got to where she was at with the skin she was born in, with the help that she got to get there. And then they pulled up the ladder and you know, and it's because I am biracial and I'm married to a white woman where she's married to a white guy that really it hurts. It's beyond makes me angry. It hurts me. And it's like looking at an alternate reality of myself. And it's like why I embrace she's not even biracial. But I tell you right now, I'm more black than she is. I stand with people who are marginalized and discriminated against, where she thinks that she's going to be the last one on the execution line. She, you know, as long as I'm the last person that they kill. And I can't stand people like that. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to Good Morning Comrade. You can listen to us every week on Saturdays at goodmorningcomrade.com, whivfm.org/listen, or on the live Real Life Radio, 102.3 FM, WHIVLP New Orleans. Thank you for listening. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you want to watch Don Lemon and
No. I've seen it.
Was it bad?
It's real stupid. It's so stupid. Don Lemon sucks. He's turbo lib again and deserves exactly what he gets. He's not Candace Owens level of coon. He's not even a coon. Nah, let me take that back. He's not coon. He is. He is the guys that babysat me when I was little. He's an old gay.
An old gay.
He's an old gay. He's an old gay turbo lib.
Yeah. He would go to, like, the kind of guy, like, he is the kind of guy that would hang out at the Spotty Cat on freaking New Year's.
Absolutely. Old gay turbo lib just thinks that, well, if people just find out how good of a person I am, then everything will be fine. It's not even like a gay thing, but he's an old gay. Like, he's got the same disease as Van Jones. There's a right wing and a left wing, and you need a bird to fly. It's like, these motherfuckers will kill you, bruh. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You sound stupid.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, that's what you should watch the new X-Men, because that's what X-Men's about. Because Jubilee and Sunspot, she meets Sunspot and they have the hots for each other. And Jubilee's trying to convince Sunspot to come live at the school. And he's like, no, it's fine. You know, I've got mutant powers, but like, as long as I just keep a low profile. And it's like, no, dog. Like, these people are trying to kill you. Like, the Friends of Humanity are literally going to track you to the ends of the earth. Like, there's no running from this.
They're the KKK.
Yeah, yeah, you can't both sides this, man. It's like, that's...
The Friends of...
Friends of Humanity.
Is it like the Hellfire Club? They just rebranded them or something?
No, the Friends of Humanity they're the alt-right. They were in the... I don't think they were ever in the comic, but they were in the original cartoon from the 90s. They were like, muties, go home. Like they're the Nazis. They're the alt-right. They're the KKK. They're fascists.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought that was the Hellfire Club
too. No, Hellfire Club are just, it's just the evil. It's the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants for people who didn't want to have Magneto as a dictator.
Yeah. Okay. And then Emma Frost.
Yeah, Elmer Frost and what Pyro and it's like there's been members in and out. I even think Sunspot was in Hellfire Club for a minute. But yeah.
Sunspot, yeah. Ironmonger, really?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I think they're just bad guys. I don't think they have any kind of specific. I mean, even the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants had a Juggernaut. He's not homo superior. He's not homo superior.
Patient, yeah.
Yeah, just like, Magneto was just like, you're the John Brown of this group. Let's go.
They did him dirty in the movies, man. I like the guy who played him, but like, you know, they even tried to do. Remember the I'm the Juggernaut bitch meme?
Yeah, that was like, stupid.
You know how cool that was, and they just tried to make it a part of the movie, and it just didn't work. I think it was Vinnie Jones or something like that.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
You just like that was definitely like one of the first times I remember a meme, like a movie trying to pick up on a meme, and they fucked it so hard.
CG was bad then too, though. I think that was that CG was still kind of Matrix, like Matrix, like the Matrix movies were like the height of like CG, and like true. Fox wasn't ready to blow money like that. I like really the first
Matrix was the best one. The other two were a little bit, the first one was really looked really cool. The second two were just like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess it was impressive that like all of them Agent Smiths fought against fucking like Neo or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. They looked like they were all made of rubber to me.
No, exactly. I like the fight between Colossus and Juggernaut in Deadpool 2. And they did it right because Colossus never transformed into Piotr. He was always metal. He was always steel. So that was a choice they made, which was perfect because you didn't have like, it didn't look disjointed ever. And then two, when he fought a CG Juggernaut, there was no live action. There was no like humans in the shots.
Yeah.
If you remember, or it was very fast because if you have two CG things fight each other, it's fine. But if you put like CG things against like real stuff, then your brain knows the difference, and that's why it looks like shit. I liked it. I like that. That was way better than that movie Juggernaut, the old X-Men, like you said, I'm the Juggernaut bitch. Yeah, I was like, all right, cool.
Did you watch the She-Hulk show?
No, because it looked like shit, and I love She-Hulk. I love She-Hulk.
Yeah, I didn't watch the movie or the series because I didn't have Disney Plus. One. And then, like, it did. I don't know. I've had some of the clips like pop up in my TikTok, and some of that shit does seem a little bit funny. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I can't get over it though. I can't like bad CG. I can't.
Yeah.
It fucks with my head. I can't watch it. It kills my suspension of disbelief. Well, you know that was a labor thing, right? You know about that. So the artists, the digital artists, the people who made the CG, mm-hmm. in like, because they farmed it out to some South Korean, like, you know,
BS
artists, electronic artists or whatever, and they said like, oh no, this show is shit. Because like they were coming out in like different media saying, yeah, this show sucks because they didn't pay, like Disney didn't pay us right. And they wanted it so fast, we didn't get to do enough pass-throughs of the rendering. They're like, yeah, we know it's bad. And I'm just like, why? Yeah, She-Hulk is so, I like comic book characters that have to live in my world.
Yeah,
and like that's interesting. It's not interesting that she's She-Hulk. It's interesting that she is a competent attorney that is also She-Hulk.
Well,
that's interesting.
It's hilarious that like basically the entire show, Ally McBeal, is basically just stolen from She-Hulk. Except Ally McBeal is just not She-Hulk.
That's so funny. I never thought of that. That's so funny.
Like this is like 20 years before as right. well. Like She-Hulk's been around since forever. Like it's just like single female lawyer, but she's just a mutant or Gamma, like the Hulk's cousin, like Gamma yeah. Blood, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's a very funny concept, and the fact that she has also the ability to just like talk directly, like the fourth wall break. Like sometimes that can be stupid and lame or whatever, but like with her, like just the fact that it's part of her superpowers essentially was always very funny to me. I've always dug She-Hulk.
No, she's cool. That's why I like, yeah, my favorite characters are guys like, I like Captain America because it's just 90-pound weakling on anabolic steroids. Yeah. That's his superpower. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, because there's stakes there. It's dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous for him in situations. I like that. And I'll tell you, I'll give y'all a spoiler on the X-Men 97. So they did the right thing. They did, when I say about Storm, they did her so right. Because they respected like what she actually is as a character, like her powers. Like, because remember in the old X-Men, like when we were kids, she'd be like, rain, wind, tumbleweeds. And she'd be like, oh, I got to pass out. Yeah. Oh, I'm fainting. Oh, no. That's it. That's all I can do. You know, I can make a snowman and then I got to go. I'm eepy. I got to go sleep. And this one, they're like, oh, no, she controls the weather. The weather. And it's like, do you understand what that means? And
God.
They depowered her. She got like House of M'd. She has no powers. And I'm like, good. That is good because she was overpowered anyway. I'm like, good. Because she needed a reset because she's, it's too much. It's too much. But they were doing that in the 90s with like every comic book character that going back to the beginning of the show. It was like, give him more powers and more powers and more. And then you can't kill. You have to like cut Wolverine's head off and bury it in a fucking vibranium box. And that's the only way you can get. And it's like, then if there's no stakes, like if you've got a character that can do anything and everything, there's no stakes, but you balance that out. And they do that in the cartoon in X-Men 97. Yeah.
My bad. Go ahead.
That's awful. But they balance it out in the cartoon to be like, okay, how would you use these powers and be interesting? So they do the whole like, I forget what it's called, like the cannonball toss thing.
Yeah. The fastball special.
Yeah, they do like a version of the fastball special where they're all fighting Sentinels. And what happens is Wolverine is like charging headstrong into a Sentinel, right? And then Gambit like springs over it on his little pole and like is on Wolverine's back. And then while he's running, he's holding on. Gambit charges Wolverine's claws, then jumps off, then throws a card at his feet, at Wolverine's feet, which propels him forward, and then Morph changes into the Blob and lays down. He bounces off Morph and then just goes up and just detonates the Sentinel. Just cuts right through him with his like charged claw. And I'm like,
That's so complicated.
I'm like, yeah, that's some like Marvel Ultimate Alliance ass PlayStation 2 awesome shit. That shit was dope. And it's like, yeah, it's like, so they're respecting their powers. And they Cyclops, they really went into like how much of a badass he is, like, because his powers are so like, he's like, he can't go around just like decapitating people with like optic blast all day. So like, he's really good at hand to hand. Like, he's just like, he just, you know, gene splices people from like Marvel versus Capcom to death. So he like doesn't rely on the optic blast that much, but when he lets it go, he lets it go. Like, it's just devastating. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. How scary Jean Grey is. They're like, you know, they're just like, he's like, oh, they're trying to get information out of Bolivar Trask. Mm-hmm. And Cyclops is like, he's like, you know, the professor, he's like, Trask is like, you're nothing like the, like Xavier. And he goes, you're right. Xavier would, he'd be patient with you. He's like, he's like, instead what? He's like, are you trying to scare me? He's like, no, he's like, I can't scare you, but have you met my wife? And it's just her. It's her and Cerebro going, I'm going to crack your head open. Like, you know, and we'll just take what we want. Yeah. I'm like, yes.
That means they got a little edge to them. That's good.
Oh, it's quite edgy. They don't shy away from why Rogue has that, has the gray streak in her hair. They're not shying away from that. They did Gambit so dirty, dog. Why? They do him. Oh, they do him so dirty.
Because you know, man.
Oh, they do Gambit so dirty because you know how it's always like, oh, Gambit's like, oh, mon ami, you know, I'll take you on an airboat ride and all this bullshit. And then, you know, she's like, oh, no, I'll hurt you. Like, you can't get close to me because, you know, you're a great guy. But if I take my glove off, I might kill you and all that. Right. Magneto shows up. All of a sudden, Rogue's like, where did my underwear go? Oh, she wasn't worried about none of that. She was like, I'm trying to get some of this magnetic power. She's like, come. Yeah, she wasn't worried about none of that.
So, but like, okay.
That's dirty.
Did the cartoons version of Rogue and not the like movies version of Rogue. That was like the worst transition movies of all time.
And yeah, it was so gross that they casted Anna Paquin and then still gave her the streak. Just because, like, he touched her or whatever. And I'm like, that's gross.
Why was Anna Paquin gross?
Because she was too young.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah.
If you're going to do either, you don't do the hey, we both have gray hair now.
Yeah.
Or you don't do that at all. Or you cast somebody older and just man up and be like, yeah, we had sex.
Well, it was a totally different character, is the problem. Like the character of Rogue from the 1997 or 1993 show, I guess, 92 show, was that she was like this like very powerful, very strong, like very fucking in your face type character.
Right.
And then, like the new version in the movie was like she's just a moody teen, and it was like total like shock for like, if you even get like set aside the weird creepy stuff like you mentioned, like you just set that aside for like half a second just so you can like just focus on the character of it all. Like, it's just not as nowhere near as interesting, because like the Rogue from the cartoon is an ass kicker, and the Rogue from the movie is like always in trouble, always like in distress, like always like just a problem and a liability, really.
Right. Well, even in the cartoon, like, you know, she was an alumni of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yeah, she was a badass.
That was her thing. Yeah,
and Captain Marvel and all this other fucking shit.
Yep. But yeah, they gave Jubilee a lot of screen time in the cartoon, which is fantastic. She's just really cool. It's really good. Like, they do a whole monologue where Magneto's like, well, okay, I'm the leader of the X-Men now, so I have to do what Charles would have done. And this is how you know it's fantasy, not that people have mutant powers, is that the UN actually has teeth. So you've got, yeah, they actually like have enforcement powers. And so your boy, like Magneto's in the dock at the Hague. And he's just like, yeah, he's like, well, you're a terrorist. You've done all this. And he's like, yeah, but you're trying to genocide my people. All we're trying to do is live in Genosha and you're trying to genocide me. So I had to defend. He goes in this whole monologue.
It's talk like, about eh. Palestine.
Exactly. Exactly.
How very timely.
It's very timely.
On the Liefeld Stanley video. That's with that horrible.
So awful. Hey, but real quick though, I got to get out of here because I got to do laundry. I still got to pack.
All right, brother.
But yeah, I'll let you know what my plans are. Because I think I'm on the boat for like four straight days.
When do you come back?
We
shut the stream down.
Hold on. 8th?